You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
For a Friday edition of the program, we welcome you in to our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Thank you very much for tuning in here today and always here on the Gym Class program. Got a good show coming up for you. We'll give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card with the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6. We'll do that in the back half of the program. College football playoff, we're at halftime of the semifinals last night. Finally got a dandy, and what a game it was. Notre Dame defeating Penn State, coming from behind to get the victory in the Orange Bowl. Tonight, Texas and Ohio State go at it in the Cotton Bowl this evening, and we'll talk about that. Look back at last night's game. Iowa women with a tough loss last night on the road at Illinois, and the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. 319-366-1600 is the text line. That is the phone line as well. You'd like to pick up the phone and call us. That is also 319-366-1600. Coming your way, 1600 ESPN in Cedar Rapids, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me from the back porch on the southwest side again this afternoon. Isaac on the other side of the glass. The gang is all here. Mark, good afternoon. Happy weekend to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Scott, Isaac, everyone out there. And great game last night. And I'm not sure about tonight. We'll see. We're going to pick it on the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6 in the back half of the show.
You're not confident it's going to be. Are you giving away your pick a little bit, one way or the other?
I don't think it's going to be a three-point game. Let me just say that.
Oh, okay. All right. Isaac, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, it's a... Yesterday's game was quite interesting as far as the James Franklin narrative continues.
James Franklin didn't throw a pass across the middle lane.
No, I said this morning I thought Drew Aller should get the majority of the blame for that loss, but it is the pattern is there for James Franklin.
Well,
it's hard to ignore at this point.
Yeah, I mean, won two games, though. Got to give him a little bit of credit for that, and had an opportunity. Do I think he did some things wrong? Yeah. You need to get the wide receivers into your game plan a little bit more than he did last night. Give Notre Dame a lot of credit. Notre Dame has hung their hat this year on creating turnovers and coming through off of those turnovers and scoring points and winning games. That's what they did again last night. Got the big turnover late on the interception. And went down and got the field goal. And how 2025 in football last night when the transfer from Duke goes down, sets up the transfer from South Carolina to kick a field goal for Notre Dame to win last night, Mark?
Yeah, it was, I wasn't so sure at halftime. It was actually kind of boring for a while. And then we had a scoring throw. I know Justin, our friend on the text line, was going to go with the under, and sorry about that, Justin. It didn't turn out that way. But if I'd have told you that Penn State was not going to complete a pass to a wide receiver, you'd think I'd be talking about Navy, Army, or Iowa, right?
Well,
I mean, that's almost unbelievable for a national championship semifinal team not to complete a pass to a wide receiver. Only five targets. And one of those was an interception that was absolutely crucial. Penn State relied a lot on Tyler Warren, who's,
he's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's hybrid. He's amazing. He's a pass receiver, no question. But you're right. Drew Aller is the one that threw the interception, not James Franklin. And frankly, Franklin's reputation had been earned before last night's game. Now he's 4-20 against top 10 teams and 1-15 against top five. That's hard to overcome. Sure, he reached the semifinal, but he had a great path. he beat SMU and Boise State. That's a pretty good path to get to the semifinals. And this is a team that was loaded with talent and wasn't able to advance and by the narrowest of margins.
Had an opportunity, that's for darn sure, for Penn State. Just could not get over the hump. And is it good for college football that Notre Dame is back in a national championship game? It has been 12 years, over a decade, since the Irish have played for a national championship. And when you think about the Blue Bloods as far as college football, going way back to the Newt Rockne era even, Notre Dame was there. And it's not going to be certainly a bad situation for college football to have Notre Dame back in the spotlight. And they will be in the national championship game. And who are they going to play? We'll have to find out tonight. We've got it for you beginning at 6 o'clock. Ohio State and Texas. Big Ten against the SEC coming up tonight from the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. I've been busy all day, Mark. I have not been able to see the forecast. Can people get to Dallas? Isaac, AccuWeather in Dallas, dial them up here. Are we okay as far as getting to the stadium tonight?
It should be all right. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for Texas to handle any type of snow because they just don't have the infrastructure in place.
No.
So without being there, it's hard for me to really say how bad it looks. But it looks like it's 36 right now, so maybe stuff's kind of, I don't know, melting a little bit.
Good for them. We don't need any problems getting to the stadium for anyone here tonight. 319-366-1600 on the text line here. Matt Fairfax, you have a good Friday night as well. And he says, go Bucks tonight. Greg, Aller had a chance to enter the draft with a big game there and instead looked terrible. Think he's going to be back. As far as we know, Chip Beck's now the Miami quarterback. Carson Beck is now the Miami quarterback. There's going to be other movement out there. Sorry if I stole some of your thunder from the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, Mark, but that didn't take long, did it?
No, it didn't. And this is the world we live in. James Franklin's going to get a heck of a receiver in Devontae Ross, the Troy receiver that torched Iowa. I could have used him last night.
Yeah. Sorry, Justin, that the under did not hit in that game last night. And Cyclone Tim, I've been on a roll lately. Said he should have realized my Penn State pick was in trouble when Scott picked them as well. Hey, it looked good for a while. I think a lot of people were surprised that Penn State was still in that game at the end of it. And had an opportunity. You can't have turnovers like that in a big situation. With the group I was with last night, Mark, hi guys, by the way, we all were in agreement that Penn State, after that run on first down, should have kept the gas pedal down and tried to get into field goal range, and it was just a bad decision. Aller said it afterwards in his news conference, pretty stand-up guy for being there. That's a tough situation for anybody, no matter if you're 20 years old or 40 years old. Just made a mistake, and it cost Penn State a chance. Now, who knows? Would they have been able to go down and get a field goal? That remains, we'll never know. We'll never know. And if it went to overtime, Notre Dame might have won the thing there. So we'll see. Yes, Chip Beck shout out. 11-11. Mark and I always have all former golfers in the back recesses of our minds. Right, Mark?
Sometimes, yeah. I haven't thought about Chip Beck for a while, but yeah, that's the case. But as far as this game last night, Aller's going to take a lot of heat, and he probably should. Maybe Franklin some for play selection. But Penn State's defense, the touchdown pass from Leonard to Greathouse, that was bad. That was poor defense. Greathouse had a great move about that 15-20 yard line to break into the end zone, but that was a total breakdown by Penn State.
Yeah, it was going to be a big play. The Penn State defensive back fell There was a lot of slipping last night on that field. Always is down in with the humidity and everything, although it was a cold night in Miami last night. But the D-back fell down, wide receiver is wide open. Then he gave a little, the head bob of all time. And it was bit by the safety for Penn State, and there was nobody back there after that. I'm with 70-11. They say, I think it's hilarious that everyone's talking trash about Penn State beating up on SMU and Boise, acting like the Hawks could have beat either one of them. Keep it real, people. They're good wins. They're good football teams. Everybody in the Final 12 is a good football team.
I will. The contention isn't that Penn State can't beat good teams. It's that they can't beat the elite teams. So it's not so much that they can't beat the teams from the 10 to 15 range. It's that they can't get over the hump and beat the elite teams and contend to where Penn State fans expect them to contend.
It's a big boat, though, that a lot of teams are in that can't beat elite teams. 319-366-1600. And Notre Dame moves on. Riley Leonard with a chance to earn a national championship. Freeman with a chance to coach in the national championship game. Notre Dame is back there. Now, who will it be? And we'll give our picks on that coming up in just a little bit with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, of course. We'll get the panel together and give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And I hope it's a good game tonight, Mark. I think it's going to be a different game. I think you're going to see a little bit more offense. Justin, I hope you're taking the over tonight. I don't know if you are. After last night's brutal loss, as you mentioned, in that category, I think there's going to be a little bit more fireworks in this one tonight, Mark.
Yeah, the number's 52, I believe, the last time I looked, which is about a touchdown more than last night's game. We shall see. I mean, if Ohio State continues its run of the last two games, that could easily go over. But I have concerns about Texas, especially its running game. Quinn Ewers a heck of a quarterback, but it can't be one-dimensional against Ohio State in that defense.
I have a feeling Mr. Manning is going to do something tonight. Big. That remains to be seen. This game tonight pits, yes, I think there's going to be some offense, but you got to keep in mind as well, these are two of the top three defenses in America. Now, the offenses are pretty good in their own right, and Ohio State has been absolutely tearing it up lately as far as the passing game. Jeremiah Smith, I don't think any defensive back has come within 5 yards of Jeremiah Smith since this college football playoff run has started. And we'll see if that will include the Texas Longhorns with their defense coming up this evening. These two teams have played very, very tough paths to get to this particular game, Mark.
Yeah, and I guess the minute you try to scheme and double or do whatever you do on Jeremiah Smith, Igbuka is one of the premier receivers in the country as well. And they've got a couple other dandies. So, and Howard has been on quite a run at quarterback. It's just whether, you know, people think that Ohio State is going to continue this offensive explosion and great play. I just think the Buckeyes are on a mission since that Michigan game.
Could be. 319-366-1600. Justin says Ohio State could score 50 by themselves. I don't foresee them getting 50 tonight, but stranger things certainly have happened. Yeah, we'll have the game tonight at 6 o'clock for you right here on 1600 ESPN. And has this, now that we're into the second semifinal tonight, what are your thoughts about this, Mark? This whole entire 12 team college football playoff. A lot of people at the beginning were kind of maybe comparing it to March Madness a little bit. It is not anything like March Madness because we have such a big gap time-wise in the timeline between games. So that takes away from it, I believe. You don't have that. I guess you had a little bit this year with the little guy in Boise trying to win. But when they get a bye like that, I think that takes it away a little bit. it's been okay. I guess we're going to have to look back at this at the very end, but I'm glad we finally got a nail biter in this tournament run.
Yeah, Texas-Arizona State was a heck of a game, too, a very tight game and double overtime game. I think True. That's about the only other one that was really kind of a nail biter. Others have been just so lopsided that they've been very disappointing, and I still maintain that 8's the right number. I not know it's not going up before it goes going down before it goes up. That's for sure.
Yeah. Seating needs to be reworked, says Matt in Fairfax. I think they're going to think about it. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I do think it's going to be bantered about by the committee after this is all said and done. If you reworked this, Mark, there's no way that Boise and SMU would not be the 11 and 12 seeds, right, in whatever order.
Well, Clemson would probably be a 12 too, but maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, Boise, a number 3 seed, gets smoked set by 17 in the first round. I mentioned that Arizona State game. Arizona State, the 4 seed, and a heck of a game against Texas. But, yeah, I've said all along that I think the seeds need to be revisited. But in the end, you know, you got the 5, 6, 7, and 8 left. You know, I think we've got maybe the 4 best teams in the country right now, arguably.
Three. I agree with you. And I don't think you can rework the seeds after each round because people have to make travel plans. The schools have to make tentative travel plans. So I don't think you can do that. I think it has to stay in a bracket situation, but I can see that the seeds are reworked ahead of time so that you don't necessarily have the conference champions be at the top, but then you ask yourself, then what good are conferences at that point? So I guess there's a catch-22 wherever you look.
Yeah, take a page out of the NCAA. You know, the NCAA basketball tournament is far from perfect, but you're not going to see that in the NCAA tournament where a mid-major conference champion is going to get an overall number 1 seed. It's just not going to happen.
Wedge, you're absolutely right. It's going to be 16 before you know it because we have to get rid of these byes. It's just too long of a time off for these teams, and that showed with all 4 of those teams going down in the first round. 53-08 with their prediction. Bert Auburn redeems himself tonight, and Texas squeaks by. That is a great name for a football player in the SEC for an opposing team, by the way. The Texas kicker, Bert Auburn. It'd be better if it was Burnt Auburn, but it's Bert Auburn. You'd get a couple things together right there. 3:22, we're going to talk about the NFL. We're going to get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update for you. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. A little bit of basketball, Mark, before we get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update. Iowa women fall last night at the State Farm Center in Champaign as the Hawkeyes fall to the Fighting Illini of Illinois, 62-57, doomed by poor free throw shooting for the game. 8 of 17, including 3 of 10 in the fourth quarter. And in close games, and especially on the road, you cannot do that.
Nope, and Iowa was 5 out of 20 from three-point range as well and needs to improve in that department. 18 turnovers, that's been kind of a bugaboo for this team, save a couple games. 18 turnovers is a lot anywhere, especially on the road. That, coupled with the shooting at the free throw line and scoring droughts, added up to a loss. And you got to score more than 57 points or whatever it was to win a basketball game.
Good to see Hannah Stolke have a good game. Real good bounce back, led the Hawkeyes with 18. Lucy Olson had 16 points, but then it really dropped after that. And to me, it was as though Jan Jensen was really, really searching for a combination. I mean, you can make the argument she's been searching for the right combinations over the last couple of weeks or so, but to me, it really showed last night and just could not find five that really could run together. And maybe the rotation's a little bit too much. I don't know. Iowa played, 11 last night? 10. They played 10 with Hayden getting in for a couple minutes last night. But just to me anyway, it looks like Jan's just looking around, okay, which five are going to be hot tonight? And I got to get them in there and get them the most playing time, and just couldn't find that other than Stolke and Lucy Olsen last night.
Yeah, it was a new starting lineup with Guyton in there for O'Grady, and kind of went with a smaller lineup. And said many times, it doesn't matter who starts the game. It's more important who finishes the game. But, yeah, finding the right combination has been an issue for Iowa. And I don't know whether people have bought into the fact that this might be a rebuilding year for Iowa. I don't think Jan Jensen approached it that way and still isn't approaching it that way. And we've made a lot of the fact that Caitlin Clark is no longer there, and made very little of the fact that also Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall aren't there anymore. And you'd think Stolke and Affolter and McCabe and others that were around for that great run, you know, it's their turn to step up. And in certain situations they have. But missing those three, not just Clark, I think is big.
It is big. And 25-23, Iowa's missing that go-to player. Well,
yeah.
She's wearing number 22 and making a lot of personal appearances right now. It was pretty easy to just turn to Caitlin and say, okay, let's go. We need a bucket at this point. And not many teams have that luxury. And there are good basketball players on this Iowa women's basketball team. Number 22 is not on the court right now doing Caitlin Clark things.
And some people had expectations for Lucy Olsen to just maybe not be the next Caitlin Clark, but to be that go-to person after finishing, I think, third in the country in scoring. But what was she was capable of at Villanova, maybe not capable of at Iowa and the Big Ten. You know, I wouldn't blame everything on Olsen, but I think the expectations of her coming in were very high, to complement the others that were on this team, like Stolke and Affolter. And, you know, maybe it's a one-off this road loss, but I think there's enough red flags, on this team.
Yeah, Guyton got the start, didn't shoot real well, 0 for 3 from 3, did score a couple of points. Unfortunately, had 4 turnovers to 1 assist. So, and I'm sure she was very nervous going into that game. Anytime you get your first start like that, especially on the road, that is tough. I was going to have to bounce back, and it's going to be tough. It is at home on Sunday, but it is Indiana coming in, and Iowa, Indiana, at least last year anyway, they did not have a whole lot of love lost between the two clubs. And I would imagine that is going to be the case again this year.
I would guess so. And our friend Greg has a fair point on the text line. He says it's not, it's Clark. If Kate and Gabby were there, they wouldn't be world beaters either. And, you know, again, that's a fair point. I think the combination, those three players playing together for so long and knowing each other's next step coming for a long
time. No, you're right. I think both of you are right in that respect. We'll throw around a lot of gold stars today, Isaac. We'll give everybody a good comment gold star today.
Only one Emil's Hideaway pick six winner, though.
Yeah, only one. 319-366-1600. We'll talk a little pro football with you after an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by. They're open at 4 o'clock, and that is Monday through Saturday. Check out their tremendous menu. It is online at emilshideaway.com, located right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And what do we got today?
Look who's leading the Sony Open in Hawaii, Scott. It's Cedar Rapids' own Zach Johnson. He is tied for the lead right now, closing in on the back nine of his second round out there in Hawaii. Zach shot a 4-under par 66 yesterday, shot 4-under par in the front nine. He's currently playing the 13th hole. A note, though, that many players haven't even started play in the second round. But right now, Zach sitting fairly well. You mentioned Carson Beck transferring to Miami. Other player news in college football. Going to the NFL will be Kyle McCord from Syracuse, the nation's leading passer last year, and Abdul Carter, the terrific Penn State defensive player. He also is going to the NFL, potentially a top 10 pick. The Associated Press NFL All-Pro team is out. Two former Hawkeyes on the team. First team, Tristan Wirfs, the offensive lineman from Tampa Bay and Mount Vernon, the first player in history to make All-Pro at right tackle and left tackle. George Kittle from San Francisco and Iowa made the second team. And finally, Scott, you remember the two Yankee fans who grabbed Mookie Betts' glove and hand in foul territory in Game 4 of the World Series?
I do.
Major League Baseball has banned them indefinitely from attending any Major League Baseball game.
Good move. You don't interfere with the game. I don't care if it's game 48 of the season, let alone in the World Series. And maybe that is a sign to others. We did start to get the debris thrown on the football field last night, but it was very short-lived in the Notre Dame-Penn State game. So they stopped that right away. That's good to see. Not good to see that they were throwing things in the field. Good to see that it was stopped right away. 319-366-1600, 331. We'll take a break, come back, and talk a little bit about the NFL slate over the weekend, the wild card weekend when we come back.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Just Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have cloudy skies with some periodic flurries through the day. Temperatures will be around 30 degrees. And then tonight, the clouds will be breaking up. Temperatures drop down into the teens. Tomorrow, we'll start with some sunshine. Clouds will be building in. Temperatures are going to be around 30. We'll have the chance for snow increasing tomorrow evening, continuing overnight into early Sunday. Minor accumulation will lead to some slushy, slick streets. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Randy's Flooring, Cedar Rapids Opera, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and we all know that life is busy, and Quickstar knows that above everyone else. And they've got all kinds of great amenities for you, from clean restrooms to fresh groceries, easy meal options, and everything in between. They've got you covered, and they are there to help make your life a little smoother, offering all the convenience you need without the hassle. And when you leave, you'll always get a very pleasant smile and a see you next time from your neighborhood Quickstar, where your day gets easier and better. And they've got some terrific bargains going on right now. They've got bananas, jumbo onions, and baking potatoes, 29 cents a pound, limit 10 pounds. Also, Nature's Touch shredded or block cheese, 8-ounce blocks, 2 for $4 or $2.99 each, limit 4. And the delicious Quickery snack pies, 4-ounce, 5 for $5 or $1.49 each, limit 5. All available at your neighborhood Quickstar.
You've been hacked. Your thoughts race. What did they get? What do they want? What does this mean for my customers? My business? Stop. Call NCS. They will have a local engineer on site at your business within 24 hours to help. If you get hacked, call NCS at 319-247-7223. Save it to your contacts, 319-247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Do you have trouble getting in and out of the bathtub? Are you afraid you'll slip and fall entering or exiting a tub? SafeStep walk-in tubs can transform your bathtub from an area of concern to a calming refuge. Call them today at 1-800-731-4558 and save $1,600. SafeStep walk-in tubs and showers are proudly made in Tennessee and offer an ultra-low step-in, avoiding that difficult climb over a traditional bathtub wall. They also offer a variety of therapeutic benefits that may help soothe your aching muscles and joints, increasing your mobility, boosting your energy, and improving your sleep. SafeStep walk-in tubs are designed to easily fit your existing tub space and are often installed in as little as one day. Just dial 1-800-731-4558 today to save $1,600 and receive a free shower package. That's 1-800-731-4558 for a free no-obligation consultation and to save $1,600. Safe Step walk-in tubs. Safety never felt so good.
Just about 3:35, right on the button on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN. Thank you for joining us. Coming up on Monday, we'll take a look back at the wild card weekend, basketball from the weekend, and got a very special guest, Mark, in the back half of the program. We're really looking forward to talking with our guest.
Indeed, the voice of college wrestling, Tim Johnson, former classmate of mine. He's going to join us about a new endeavor, renewed endeavor that he's taking on with Iowa Public Television.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Tim Johnson has seen so much wrestling over the years. I know Isaac's looking forward to it.
Any college wrestling, I love.
There you go. We ought to get you and Tim together. And just, you know, he's a good guy to pick the brain of.
I'm sure he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's seen most everything out there. So that'll be coming up on Monday. 319-366-1600. We've got wild card football throughout the weekend. We will join up hopefully just about at the kickoff tomorrow for Chargers-Texans from Houston. And then we'll have Pittsburgh at Baltimore tomorrow night. On Sunday, Denver at Buffalo, Green Bay at Philadelphia, the Commanders and Tampa. And then Monday night, we will join up with the Vikings and the Rams after the Cyclone Coaches Show concludes. One of those games, we will pick Vikings, Rams, and Packers, Eagles coming up on the pick six here, Mark. Are those two games the one that intrigue you, or is there another one that you're keeping your eye on more than others?
I think the two teams involving the North Division, NFC North Division, the Packers, Eagles, and the Vikings, Rams. I did not put the Steelers and the Ravens on just because of the point spread was so big, but maybe I should have. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting with the game being in Glendale now between the Rams and the Vikings. If that's going to make any difference, we'll get those with our picks coming up in a little bit. I like the game that jumps out to me is Green Bay, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I really think that could be a real Donnybrook by the time it's all said and done. Hurts is back. He's going to play. He's cleared protocol. No Christian Watson for Green Bay. Will Tyler Kraft catch more passes? What does that mean for the Packers? Remember, outside the NFC North, the Packers have been pretty darn good this year in beating other teams. And I don't think it's going to be a layup for Philadelphia in that wild card playoff game, even though it is the 7-2. Denver's red hot right now, but we'll see going in to take on a Buffalo team that I think knows that the window may be closing, despite the fact Josh Allen is still plenty young, but they've got Von Miller and others like that. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Well, yeah, we'll see how the young quarterbacks fare too. I mean, Bo Nix is had a really good year after kind of a slow start, driven the Broncos on this run. You're very familiar with them, being in the same division as the Chiefs, but going to Bills is a tall task. And then Daniels with the Commanders. Can he throw a Hail Mary to beat the Bucs?
Oh, wow. As a Bear fan, you brought that up even. That's crazy. Yeah, Bo Nix making his first playoff appearance. Jaden Daniels going to make his first. Obviously, Sam Darnold, the first time he's been in a big playoff game. So, yeah, we'll find out. Should be an interesting wild card weekend. There'll be somebody's going to step up on the road and win one of these, Which one is it going to be? And we will perhaps make that prediction with the Evil Side Away Pick 6, which is coming up next. We're going to get the panel together, give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast with the Pick 6, and we will have it for you when we come back here in the Gym Class of Friday edition here on 1600 ESPN.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. That's 2,000 children every single day. It's a heart-wrenching reality that we can no longer ignore. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted vehicle, running or not. Call 1-800-294-0222. We guarantee that you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast, free pickup with 24-hour response. Call 1-800-294-0222. Find the Children provides crucial resources to help find missing children and educational materials to teach kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs have a proven track record of reuniting kids with their families. It's time to act. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Help us build a world where every child is safe. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-294-0222. Together, we can bring these kids home safely. This advertisement was paid for in partnership with Cars R Us and Find the Children.
Back with you at 3:40 here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. That'll be from 4 until 6, taking us up to the pregame for the Cotton Bowl, the college football semifinal number 2, Texas and Ohio State. We will pick that game, among others, with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, which is upon us. Brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Mark, pretty a close contest last week, and we will get results of that and get you to introduce game number 1.
Yeah, the results, we were all hanging on 3 victories going into the final game, that FCS National Championship game, and Scott prevailed in that one on an island pick. Scott is the winner. Isaac, I don't think we ever announced the listener winner this week.
No, that was AJ, who I already called during the week just to get that done.
AJ, congratulations. Well done.
Excellent. Game 1, so Scott will lead off, and we welcome in Spencer and Dave to the panel. Game 1 is tomorrow. It's the Chargers at the Texans, and Scott, LA favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I'm scratching my head on that line a little bit. Chargers playing good ball as of late. This is Harbaugh's first game, obviously, in a long time as a playoff NFL football coach. Texans are beat up a little bit, but I still like Houston in this one, especially at home getting 2.5. And I think as a Chief fan, I'd rather play a non-divisional foe. I will take the Houston Texans and those 2.5 points.
Now, I'm a big D'Amico Ryans fan, but I'm a bigger Justin Herbert fan, and I think he's going to be the difference in this game. I'll take the Chargers. Dave.
The Chargers have had a great first year under head coach Jim Harbaugh. They were 12-4-1 against the spread, but had only a 2-5 record against playoff teams. And both wins were against Denver. Home underdogs are currently on a 6-4 straight up and 8-2 against the spread run heading into the postseason playoffs. I like Houston's chances to cover and also maybe win. Give me the Texans and the points at home.
Okay, Spencer.
I'm not leaving you on an island, Mark. Don't worry. I like the Texans' defense, but the Texans' offense has just not been good this season. Didn't really play the starters last week against the Titans, but the last time they were at full strength, they scored a whopping 2 points against the Ravens on Christmas Day. I think the Chargers go into Houston and get the win, so give me the Bolts in that one.
Thank you, Spencer. I don't think these days I'd want to be on an LA island.
Probably not.
Next game, also in the NFL Sunday, it's the Broncos at the Bills, and Buffalo favored by 8.5 points. I am up first. That seems just like a lot of points in the NFL, but going to Buffalo, very difficult. I'm going to go ahead and take Buffalo to win and cover in this game. Dave.
Denver is one of the best stories in the NFL this season as they rallied behind quarterback Bo Nix to get a playoff spot. However, QBs starting their first playoff game in the NFL have gone just 12-23 straight up and 14-21 against the spread since 2014. Since 2015, rookie starting quarterbacks being underdogs of a touchdown or more have won just 20 games, going 20-123 straight up. Home favorites of a touchdown or more in the wild card round are 17-1 straight up, 14-4 against the spread since 2005. Buffalo also is 7-1 against the spread in its last 8 games against Denver in head-to-head play. Give me Buffalo to win and cover.
Spencer.
All good points, man. I'm real tempted to take Denver here, but I heard you guys right before we came on talking about it, and the Bills know what's up, and the Bills seem like, at least the numerous times I've watched them this year, like a team on a mission with Josh Allen and crew, and I think the Bills win this one by 10. We'll just we'll give it a Bills win and cover by the hair on our chinny chin chins.
You like the Denver area on an island, Scott?
I don't like anything about the donkeys. No, I'm kidding. I like the Bronco fans. They're good people.
You like Riley Moss, right?
I like Riley Moss. Good guy. Yeah. Good guy. A lot of good things in Denver. Had great times in Kansas City with the Bronco fans. But I don't think it's going to happen. I hate to make it a clean sweep. That's not fun, but I think Buffalo wins this thing.
All right, game three also on Sunday. The Commanders visit the Buccaneers, and Tampa Bay favored by 3.5. As Dave, you are first up.
The stats on Washington and Tampa Bay are very similar. The Bucs have slight edges in points for and against, but the Commanders' defense allows fewer yards per game. Keep in mind, however, Washington's best win was a Hail Mary against the Bears. They had the second easiest schedule in the NFL. Tampa Bay is the better team with a better run game. They have scored 15 touchdowns in their last 4 games. Give me the home team Bucs to win and cover.
All right, Spencer.
It's one of those that I went back and forth on probably about 7 times as I was trying to make my picks this week. You know, these two teams met in week one. Bucks won, 37-20 back in week one. Of course, that was 18 weeks ago, so you really can't glean anything from that one. Jaden Daniels is not fazed really by anything in his rookie year. I wonder about kind of that first playoff, you know, atmosphere kind of thing going on the road for as bad as the NFC South has been this year. I still think the Bucs have probably one of the better home field advantages. The hook scares me. I could see it being like a 3-point spread, but I say the Bucs win by a touchdown. Fire the cannons, as the radio guy says for Tampa. Yeah, I'll go Tampa.
Yeah.
Love Tristan Wirfs.
Anthony Nelson,
Kayvon Merriweather, yeah. All those guys. But Jaden Daniels, he's got it. May not win the game, but I think they keep it close. I'll go with the 3.5 and take the Commanders.
I was tempted to take the Commanders, but I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I think Baker Mayfield has really had an underrated season in the NFL. And I'm trying to temper my thoughts knowing Dave's sons are big Tampa Bay fans, but I don't think that's going to taint his pick. Washington is not good against the run, and that's the reason I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
I'm on a Washington Commander Island.
Yep.
Oh boy.
All right, Sunday, one of the premier games, and it's only appropriate that Spencer has the first pick.
Of course.
It's Green Bay at Philadelphia, and the Eagles favored by 4.5.
I'm using partial reverse psychology when I'm with what I'm about to say. I have no confidence in this Packers team. They're really young. Jordan Love being banged up scares me. I really like Josh Jacobs. He's been a great addition. I worry about the defense going up against Saquon Barkley, number one. But number two, the talent just all around on Philadelphia. I'd love for Green Bay to pull an upset, a 7-2 like they did last year. I think this Eagles team is better than that Cowboys team from last year in the postseason that Jordan Love engineered the upset of. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm taking Philly.
Scott.
Everything Spencer just said, except for the fact that you guys they're not going against McCarthy this year.
Yes, true. Yep, yep. 1,000%. Yep.
Sirianni's a little better coach.
Yes, yes.
I think it's going to be 5 or 6, but I think in the end, Philadelphia is going to win this thing by about a touchdown. So at home, I'll go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't like the spread, but I don't like the quarterback situation for the Packers. Not only Love kind of banged up, Willis is banged up as well. And with Hurts being back for the Eagles and that running game, I got to go with Philadelphia. Dave.
In the last 2 weeks, we have seen a lot of fans fall off the Green Bay bandwagon. Before that, the Packers were red hot, winners of 9 of 13 games, while scoring at least 30 points 7 times. Now, after a 2-point loss at 14-3 Minnesota and a loss to Chicago, very few people are giving this team much of a chance in the playoffs. In this rematch of week one game in Brazil won by the Eagles, nothing from either of these teams makes me doubt this game will play out the same way. Will play out anyway, but the same way. Give me the home team Eagles to win and cover.
Okay, another sweep. And game 5, Monday night, now in Glendale, Arizona, the Vikings will be taking on the Rams. Scott, you're up first. Minnesota favored by 1.5.
Yeah, I think moving to Glendale just puts a whole different spin on this thing. Not that the Rams have a big home field advantage. They do not. Rams or the Chargers are usually outnumbered by the other the opponent's fans. And I think could see some Viking fans. There are a lot of Midwesterners in the Valley of the Sun. I think it's going to be a pro-Viking crowd there, and I think the Vikings bounce back. I think they're angry. I'm going to take the Vikings.
Yeah, I think I read maybe somebody has a further update, but tickets were gobbled up quickly in Glendale, and maybe suggesting Minnesota fans, there's plenty of them out there in the Valley, but I'm going to take a hunch and go with the Rams on this one. Dave.
This game being moved to Glendale for the safety of everyone concerned, EM people and stuff will, you know, have better things to be doing right now out there. So I think that's a very good, nice move. I look for Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford to find a way to send the Vikings on vacation. Give me the home team, Rams, and the points to cover.
Spencer.
I'm not going to leave Scott on Viking Island.
Thank you.
These two teams met up in week 8, and the Rams beat them pretty soundly out in L.A. It's really tough to beat a team twice, and week 8 was week 8. This is the playoffs. I agree with what Scott said. I think the Vikings have something to prove after they were waxed by the Lions on Sunday Night Football last week, and I think they win a close one. They win by a field goal. We'll say that, so. I'm not going to say Skull Vikes,
nope,
even though I just
nope,
did.
No,
but
no,
Vikings will win. There we
We're
go.
Not doing that.
Bill Rutt, big Will Reichard fan there. Tonight, the Cotton Bowl, second semifinal in college football. It is Texas against Ohio State. The Buckeyes favored by 5.5. I will lead off. The tiebreaker is total points scored in this game. Good matchup of quarterbacks with Ewers and Howard. But Texas has not been good against the run. Ohio State has a couple of dynamic running backs, and certainly the receivers have been great as well. I've got to ride the hot team to win and cover here. I'll take Ohio State and place the total points at 52. Dave.
There's a boatload of public support for Ohio State. It's understandable considering what we've seen in the past few weeks. Many questions were being asked following the Buckeyes game with Michigan. Many wanted Ryan Day fired after another loss to the Wolverines, but the Bucks followed that loss by boat racing Tennessee 42-17. Then they revenged an earlier loss to Oregon with a 20-point victory over the unbeaten Ducks in the Rose Bowl. I think Ohio State wins this game. Michigan was the wake-up call, and they seem to have righted the wrongs. Give me the Buckeyes, win and cover, and I'll take 49.
Spencer.
Yeah, I don't like how Texas has some lulls lately. And you watch the SEC championship game against Georgia. You watch the game against Clemson. They won that game against Clemson, obviously. You watch that Arizona State game from the second round of the CFP. They had a sizable lead, let Arizona State back in, almost lost that game, Texas did. Ohio State's just a team on a mission, and I already, on my show yesterday, picked Ohio State-Notre Dame in the title game, so I need the Buckeyes to come out of this game so I could be right for once for the first time this year. I'm going to take Ohio State by 10. Give me the Buckeyes, and I'll set the total for me at 55.
Scott.
You know how much I didn't say Skol. I'm not going to say Hook'em Horns.
You can do this.
I'm not going to do anything horn-like with this. I'm concerned. Yes, Ohio State has been playing great football. I'm just a little concerned getting up three times in a row like this against Texas. I just have a feeling that Manning is going to come in tonight and do something. They may not win, but I'm going to take those 5.5 points. I love the hook. I'm taking Texas, and I will go with 59 points in this one tonight. All right, picks are in. We need four contestants at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. If you have been a contestant over the last 4 weeks, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. Hitch your wagon up to one of the prognosticators, and whoever has the best week, that listener attached to said picker will get a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. I don't feel confident.
Neither do I. I picked every favorite. I hate that.
Dave, enjoy the football. Have a great weekend.
You as well, and congrats on your historic run of 10 out of 19 weeks.
Every once in a while, a squirrel finds an acorn. Thank you. Appreciate it. What's coming up from 4 until 6?
We've got plenty of college football playoff talk. We got wild card weekend talk. We'll talk some hoops, too, and lots more.
All right. Look forward to that. And, Mark, have a great weekend, and we will talk on Monday when we get back together for the gym class.
You got it. You guys as well. Talk to you Monday.
All right. You've been listening to the gym class right here in Eastern Iowa's home for Sports 1600 ESPN. Have a great weekend. We are back with you on Monday. Stay tuned for Spencer on Sports.
That's the ease at which you get information. You want it, you get it. Like that. Ask your phone. Group chat. Smart.